Coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
Oh my god! They're like chickens with four legs. They're just little balls of meat.
There is corners of the internet that I haven't gone yet. And I will go.
I will go there.
Hi-lo!
Hey, oh. Everyone. What?
What a somber hi.
Hey.
You can't be upbeat all the time. It's a somber week.
This is an exciting week.
Okay, all right. A one, a two, a one, two, three. Hi.
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 Are you being quiet? Are people asleep?
I'm asleep, bitch.
Well, I'm. It's fine. I've got enough party spirit, Friday night vibes. For both of us.
You got cider on a Friday night. I just finished a bowl of Weet-Bix on a Saturday morning.
Looky Lou!
Wait, no one can see this, right? Except me?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, still doing podcasts, right?
Okay. Megan extends her hand eagerly within the hands, which are extending, is a big bottle of cider. Suspiciously half empty, hence the speaking difficulties. Patty was half an hour late, so I had half an hour of drinking by myself.
She's a born raconteur. Just a storyteller by nature.
Friday night vibes.
Here come the hands that are on arms, extending handily.
It's fine. It's all right. I'll cheers.
Oh, cheers the mic. Hey! All right.
Okay.
Hey, everyone.
What's up, guys?
This is Cryptid Addicted. We're a bit of a mess sometimes.
Sometimes. So this bit's a mess, but when we get into today's episode, you're going to be like, oh, shit, are they the same people?
This is so professional, professional. And well organized.
100 professional, 65 organized. I mean,
these guys definitely didn't accidentally record the first 8 episodes of the podcast on their laptop mic, despite having an actual microphone.
Actually, that's a good segue. For those two of us who have stayed with the podcast, long-term fans, thank you for listening through the shit that I recorded early on. Turns out I don't know what I'm doing. I do kind of now. But I was recording on a potato and it sounds like it. So I'm sorry that you couldn't hear all of our jokes. And I hope you can enjoy them now because we know what we're doing now.
Yeah, it's fresh now. Crisp.
It's great.
Clean.
Anyway, so this is a cryptozoology podcast. Cryptozoology is a study that aims to prove the existence of cryptids, which are not a good one. I use the word cryptid in cryptozoology.
And cryptids are the subjects of the study that is cryptozoology. Nice.
Cryptozoology is a science, in brackets, no, in quotation marks, of studying for animals that potentially exist but haven't been proven to science yet. Yep.
Nice.
Cool.
Yep.
Great.
That's in the vicinity.
I'm Megan. That's Patty. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm really excited about this whole fucking thing, as Patty kind of knows. I have so much to tell you that I'm having like, I'm having like a panic attack of happiness. I don't know what it is. I have 60,000 things to tell you. Okay, step one. Stop yawning. There is no yawning. There's no yawning on this podcast.
We're both very excited to be here. Alright, sorry.
Okay, I have announcements.
An announcement?
Several.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
Whoa. Number one. I'm going to be interviewing William J. Sheehan, the author of Terror in the Woods, a collection of Bigfoot sightings.
Wow.
That's coming up. Teaser. Preview.
Cool. In real life or on the Skypes?
On the Skypes. He's in America. I am in not America.
I see.
But I'm reading all his books, which he's kindly sent me, so I'm nearly finished. He sent me 4. I'm up to the 4th.
Cool.
But it's really exciting that I get to chat to him. He has some interesting beliefs that I'm really excited to talk to him about, such as he thinks Bigfoot is demonic, which I'm interested to hear his thoughts on.
Wow. Oh, man. Oh, we've made it now. Is he well known in the Bigfoot community?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say he's pretty well known. He's a good author. He's been on a couple of shows.
Okay, cool.
Number two, exciting news.
Yes.
I'm interviewing Dali from Sumatra, who's one of the leading experts on the Orang Pendek.
What?
I know,
right? That's so cool.
I know.
How did that happen?
So he saw his we talked about him on the second episode, because he's like, he works with Cliff Barrickman, who works on Finding Bigfoot, you know, that really American TV show where they like run around in the woods for seven seasons and haven't found anything. Cliff Barrickman apparently is a really nice guy. He's one of the hosts. Yeah. And him and Dali have gone to Sumatra and like collected footprints and stuff. So all those like sick ass footprint casts that we went through on episode two for evidence, they did.
Wow.
So he like saw his stuff and he was like, hey, I saw you've used my stuff. Like, thanks for crediting it and everything. Because I always credit people's work. I think it's messed up to just steal people's work and not be like, hey, this is this person's drawing or this person's research or this person's foot cast or whatever.
Yeah, so
he's like, thanks for crediting my stuff. Just wanted to say thanks. And I was like, holy fuck. And I like fangirled a bit.
Whoa. So he found our podcast. And
yeah.
Saw
and like the website. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
We're on people's radar in Malaysia.
We're in motherfucking Sumatra.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it's Indonesia.
Is it?
No, I need to check that shit.
edit that out.
And I was like, hey, bro, you want to have an interview? Because you're awesome. And he said, yeah. So we're just trying to work out the timings. And he's got a YouTube channel and stuff. As a sneak peek for that to come, he's found some different footprint casts. Well, he's found some different footprints that aren't Orang Pendek. They're like slightly different. They're bigger and they're more traditional Bigfoot shape. So he's thinking it's a different species.
Wow.
So I'm definitely keen to talk to him about that. So that's number two. Number three, the most exciting. I watched Van Helsing for the first time.
Whoa, which one?
The one
with Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Oh God, that's such a bad film.
How great is his hair? He's Australian.
He's not a long-haired man. It does not suit him at all.
I think it suited him very well.
He's like a budget Viggo Mortensen. Like, is my view.
I don't know who that is. So clearly,
poor man's Aragorn.
Oh, from Lord of the Rings. No, he's blonde. Oh no, that guy. Oh right.
Come on, get it together.
I'm sorry. I haven't seen Lord of the Rings for a long time. Anyway, that's my announcements.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's so cool. So
I know it's a good movie.
So we're gonna do an interview with a real person, and then also Hugh McAllister, whatever his name was.
Two real people.
Yeah. Demonic MacGyver. Him.
Fuck off, man. Okay. You're not invited.
Oh, that's cool. That's pieces of legitimate news.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So that's cool. If you guys like us doing more, and by us I mean me, doing more interviews with people, let me know and I'll set some more up. But these both just kind of happened by accident. So I thought, why not?
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. The podcast is growing in fame.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, yeah, no, it's fuck it. We're stalled enough. I was going to talk about where we'd had random people listening, but.
Wait, what? No, tell me. I'm interested.
I had a look at our statistics, and we have a population in Ghana.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
How big a population?
Small.
One.
But one person. No, like, there's like a group of 30 people in Ghana listening.
Oh, wow. Oh, I want more specific data. Like, have we got like a single village in Ghana is tuning in?
I can find that. I'm so pathetic. I have no idea what I'm doing. I realize you can click on the map and it tells you what city in that country specifically people are coming from. So, for example, in Australia, we have a massive population in Sydney. And then we have some in like Perth and Queensland, like Brisbane and Perth, and then some in Tassie, Hobart.
Oh, wow.
I can find that shit.
You're in Ecuador. Oh, where are our listeners coming from? Have we still got a big Ecuadorian fan base?
Yeah, they come and go, but yeah, no, pretty much they're a winner. Ecuadorians love us, apparently. All right, let's have a look. So see, biggest audience USA, second biggest Australia, third biggest UK, fourth biggest Canada, fifth biggest Ghana.
Ghana! Oh, wow. Oh, that's so cool. Hey, Ghana friends.
Okay, here we go. They're all in the one space. Oh, no. I don't know how to pronounce it. Accra.
Is that...
A-double-C-R-A.
Is that the capital? Let me Google it. Capital of Ghana. Yeah, Accra is the capital.
Well, there we go.
All right.
After Ghana is... What the hell is that?
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Cool. All right, well, yeah, hey, Ghanaian friends. Anyway, cool beans.
Anyway, let's talk about cryptids, yo. All right, yeah. So we start the podcast off with this little section called X-Cryptid. And it goes, basically, a cryptid goes either two ways once it's shed the label of a cryptid. Either they are proven as a hoax, misidentification, or just an unusual normal animal like that's sick or mutated or injured or something like that. Mange is one of Patty's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Or they are discovered to be a new animal and are accepted by science, basically. Mm-hmm. They're the two ways.
Yeah.
Agree?
See. Yes, agreed.
Now, we've done this before, but basically I'm going to get Patty to guess whether this is... I'm going to talk about X-Cryptid, and Patty has to guess whether it's a real thing or not a real thing today.
Oh.
Yeah?
Oh.
Yeah? Okay.
It's not a real thing.
Fuck, I hit the mic. Shut up! You can't guess that early. All right. Now. Okay, anyway.
Damn, floss my composure.
Help me, cider. Okay. All right. In the sticky jungles of Vietnam, a miniature myth skitters around this jungle floor.
Mm.
This creature was spoken about by locals for years, described as a tiny deer the size of a rabbit.
That's so cute.
I know.
Oh, that's such a cute image. I hope it's real.
It has a plump body perched on the top of stick-like legs, massive black eyes, and tusks protruding out of its...
Tusks?
Out of its mouth.
Aww.
Tusks.
Oh, that ruins it.
Cute tusks, man.
Adorable tusks, all right.
Adorable, pointy things. The strangest part about this creature was its habitat, opting for the cool, protected ponds and waterways of the Vietnamese jungles.
Okay.
Not just around the water's edge, these little animals are predominantly aquatic. Yeah?
The Vietnamese tusked water deer. All right.
Yes. Miniature.
Miniature water deer.
Vietnamese people in the area explain that the animal spends hours in the water, breathing through nostrils on the top of its head. Yeah?
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They use the water as a form of protection from predators, they believe, and it's also a way to source food. The creature is said to have reddish-brown fur with lighter stripes and spots. When it comes out of the water, they are said to walk on the tiptoes on the very ends of their hoofs, on their little stick legs, with their plump body on top, their fat little round body.
This is not true.
Look, yeah, I'm gonna finish.
at least some part of this is not true.
And I'm gonna still go through it. Locals explain that the creature is not fast, but can scamper through the forest thicket into safety.
On the tiptoes of its hooves.
On its little tippy toes. On its fat little body. I can't get over the fat body. I'm imagining amazing things. Although the locals told Westerners that these creatures are real and that they, like, eat them and stuff when they get caught in snares, it was thought the Western idiots thought that these were misidentification or the locals making fun of explorers.
Right. Yeah? Okay. Uh-huh.
Real or fake?
How many times did Westerners get told about this? Was it like from a bunch of different villages separately? Or was it just like they went to the one village and everyone was like, yeah. Yeah, they're real. That's a real,
definitely. I'm going to say between 5 and 15. villagers.
5 and 15.
No. How am I going to have this information? 5 and 15 villagers said it.
Okay.
Westerners, maybe. There is no way of me knowing that information.
I'm gone probably fake. Because if there were explorers in these areas, my thinking is, and if this was like an animal that got captured semi-regularly, they'd be able to show a corpse of the thing. You know, if this is food they catch with any frequency, and there was an explorer there for a couple of months, you'd expect to find one. Mm. Yeah, is my thing.
It's like ridiculous body shape is not what's stopping you, and it's aquatic nature.
I think it breathing through its head and like scampering around on its tippy toes probably wrong as well. And yeah, there's a lot of red flags. I'm guessing, but maybe wrong, that it's not a real thing, or that the description of it is wrong in some important ways.
Okay. Wrong. It's a real thing.
Oh man.
It's called the Vietnamese mouse deer. Not moose deer. Mouse deer.
Okay.
Don't you dare Google it. Are you Googling it?
I'm Googling
Don't
Google it.
No, I've got things to show you.
Okay,
come on,
fine.
The journey.
Fine.
This creature still remains shrouded in mystery today, to the point where we have not gained any further conclusive information about the X-Cryptid since its official discovery in 1910.
What?
I know. The animal is not a true deer, but it shares a suborder with the deer family. It also looks a lot like a fucking deer. Okay. It is indeed tiny, around the size of a small cat, around 7 inches tall, weighing around 0.7 kilograms.
Oh my god!
He's so cute!
Wait, so are all the bits true? It has holes on the top of its head that it breathes through?
On the top of its snout, yeah. It's like, you know how like a dog has a schnoz?
Yeah.
Think of a dog schnoz. And then instead of the nostrils pointing down, they're at like the top. Or they're like,
wait,
go the whole
so
way.
That's just nose holes! It has a nose!
No. It has nostrils on the top of its nose.
I was picturing, like, the top of its skull has two holes, like antennas or something.
Well, that's your own fucking fault. Oh, yeah, that was not your point of contention.
That was one of them. And does it tiptoe?
It does. It walks on its tiptoes.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I was wrong.
They do indeed have fat little bodies with thin little legs, and they are also known to spend hours in the water, just as speculated. This specific species was donned the silverback chevrotain, or more colloquially, the Vietnam mouse deer.
So why weren't they able to find corpses of it?
Because they're very, very rare.
Very, very rare. Okay. All
so
right, cool.
I think what happened was early on, they were, like, the locals were making snare traps. Like, and they still make snare traps today. But they catch a lot of animals in these snare traps. So these things were kind of like easy pickings, so they ate them all the time. Mm. But I think by the time Westerners were coming around, they were like getting rarer because they were just so easy to eat.
Yeah. Right.
So 1910 sees the first and only confirmed encounters that we have. Oh, sorry. Fucked it. Anyway. So 1910 sees the first and only confirmed encounter we have with these encounters. It was during these expeditions where researchers collected and stuffed a few specimens that still exist. So, photo time. Here is, I mean, you're not going to get a lot of information from the photo. So here is a stuffed specimen. There is a single photo of it. There's a single specimen of it. It's not a great photo, and it's like the back down. But for viewers at home, these photos are all on our website and on our Facebook, but I will also explain it to you as best I can. It's just basically like a rabbity looking thing with the
silverback. Yeah, it just looks like a dead rabbit, but okay, cool. Mm.
Okay, so that's 1910.
All right.
So this top-down skin of an animal does not give you much idea of what the thing looks like, but never fear, because the way that the scientists started to realize that these things, like the stories about these little critters might be true and worth investigating, was because of similar stories that were coming out around different parts of Asia and even Africa. And these animals started to be found. So different sea species and subspecies related to this fella were beginning to be found around Asia and Africa.
Okay.
And then explorers were hearing about these stories in Vietnam, and they were like, huh, maybe we should like look into that. So they looked into it in 1910 and found it once. But there is no photo of it alive. So I've got relatives of it.
Okay.
That are very similar. So the Vietnam mouse deer belongs to a family called Tragulidae, or more commonly, mouse deer. What?
You got a great Australian accent, Megan.
Thank you.
Tragulidae.
It hasn't gone away. It hasn't gone away. Nice to see. Yeah, more commonly, they're just all called mouse deer, basically. And in fact, there is 10 known extant species of mouse deer alive today, hopefully.
Yeah.
And 6, possibly 7, extinct species of mouse deer. Okay, I'm about to send you some crazy shit.
Okay.
Look at these animals. Everyone, look at these animals. If you can't get to the photos I've got
Oh my god! They're like chickens with 4 legs. They're just little balls of meat.
Look at this little butt.
Oh, they're so cute.
Massive black eyes.
Oh, man. Very cute.
All right. Are you ready for more?
I'm ready for more. Send them through.
Here's another one.
Oh, wow. He's got a little... Okay, that's just a normal nose, Megan.
No. I've got a better picture of the nose.
He's just got a nose. It doesn't have tubes protruding out of his head.
You're the one adding tubes to things, okay? You can keep your tubes to yourself. No one's got tubes here. This one is a good one. So this is a male, and it's got like a big fang. Oh, bless you.
Oh, pardon.
It's got a big fang. It's got like those big tusks that I was talking about.
I'm still on the just the second photo. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, it has tusks.
Oh, that's a tusk?
Yeah.
That little tooth thing? It looks like a tooth.
It's a massive tooth. Think if it shut its mouth. I mean, it's pulling quite a face.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Again, for those who can't see, it's licking the bottom of its chin, and it looks grumpy.
Yeah, it's a cross, tiny miniature deer.
Here's another one, showing its tiptoes.
Wow. Oh, this is really cool.
I know. And here is the final photo. Actually, no, there's more. Sorry, I got really excited.
Okay. I would like to make a point in my own defense.
Okay.
I think if no other species like this had been discovered, you would be right to doubt the existence of this. And it sounds like scientists only looked into this properly after they had found all these other examples of little deer. So yes. If in the body of evidence you gave me before you asked me to make a judgment, you'd also said, by the way, we know there are a bunch of things very, very like this already. That would have changed my judgment.
Yes, but...
Oh, this guy's got a better snoot than the other one.
Yeah, there we go. Snoot shot. That's a snoot shot. So you can see the upper nostrils.
I mean, it's just a nose, but yeah.
Going back to your point, you immediately said it was fake before I even said anything.
That wasn't because I'm a skeptic. That's because you told me in earlier episodes that you'd run out of examples of cryptids that had turned out to be real animals.
Yeah, see? I lied. Or I was mistaken. There is corners of the internet that I haven't gone yet.
Yeah.
And I will go there. I found this on page 5 of Google searches, all right?
Wow.
So I will fucking go there. Anyway, this is a photo of it underwater, swimming like a fucking little, like, hippo. It's a bad photo.
Oh, but what is that? It looks like an eel.
It's its face. So what that photo actually is, let me tell you a bit more about it swimming. So finally, they're really at home at the water, and other relatives, such as this photo here, which is a water chevrotain from Africa, walk on the bottom of the water like a hippo. They scrunch their body up tight to avoid the current, and they use it to escape predators by hiding in the murky water and then, like, popping out randomly and making an exit when nothing's looking.
Huh.
They can hold their breath for up to 4 minutes,
oh.
And they do indeed have nostrils on top of their head, as you can see.
I guess they use, like, very little oxygen because they're so teeny-meeny.
Yeah. So this is a still from a video by National Geographic where it's escaping a giant eagle attack. So you can watch that if you want.
Oh, man. Oh, that'd be... I trust Nat Geo to have, like, an eagle feasting on a tiny mouse deer. Nat Geo is so vicious sometimes.
It escapes, you monster.
They didn't know it would escape.
Do you want to see that, or shall we move on?
I do, yeah. Oh, it looks like... Oh, wow. Oh man, that eagle. This is quality footage. Stupid eagle. Okay, cool. Wow. All right. So cool. These are Legitsky's things here. You're absolutely right.
Legitsky's. So just to finish up on them. So because we only had that one time we found them in 1910. In 1990, a Russian expedition went out to try and find them, and they said they may have found one and skinned it. They found one and they killed it and skinned it, which is like, come on, man. They're rare. Stop killing them. So they skinned it to be like, look, we found one. Here it is. And only one photo has ever surfaced from that, which shows a grey speckled pelt. But unsurprisingly, the results were inconclusive because it's like comparing an unknown with an unknown. So, like, I'll show you the pelt. This is the pelt, but it's like they don't know what it looks like. So stop killing endangered things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a pelt.
It's a pelt. It's slightly silver. It's got a silver back. That's correct. And then similarly, like,
that's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, in a similar vein, a couple of years ago, a suspected juvenile Vietnam mouse deer was killed in a park near Vietnam, and like, according to mammalogists, they think it's a silverback chevrotain, but there's just no way of knowing. And I'm not going to show you the photo because it is like a dead baby, one of these. So like,
oh, okay, yeah, that would be a bit gruesome.
Yeah, so it's just people are doing it wrong, basically. And then since that time, the silverback chevrotain is one of the least studied creatures on the planet. We have almost no information about these animals, including diet, habitat, taxonomy, breeding habits, or even population levels. Yeah. Pathetically, this is not even due to it being like majorly elusive or cryptic, if you like. It's because no efforts have been like diverted its way. Up until 2004, it was actually just misclassified and treated as a subspecies of the greater mouse deer, even though it was actually like, when a biologist took the time to look at it, they were like, oh, this is clearly resembling a lesser mouse deer and it's actually more likely its own species. So like, we just no one seems to give a shit about these little things, and I think everyone should give a shit.
Well, there are probably not many of them, right? Like, it sounds like it's near extinction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or extinct.
Maybe that, which is like, I guess that's maybe a more common explanation for, like, if cryptids turn out to be real, it's probably that there's not many of the actual animal.
Yeah. Like a ring pendek, right?
Yeah, or it's just such a remote area that people don't go there, which I guess also a ring pendek.
Yeah. It's double trouble. So today the creature, I'm nearly finished, I swear, but like, give a shit, guys. All right, so today they have made it onto the top 25 most wanted species in the world list, as classified by the Global Wildlife Conservation Group, which many among Daniel Craig, 007, is an activist.
Ooh.
They have this awesome graphic, which is basically like watercoloring paintings of 25 of the most wanted species that like they want more information about, that they want people to go out and find more information now. So our little fella, look at the photo. I can't be bothered to explain every photo. Okay. It's like halfway down on the left in the middle. It's like a little yellow. That's our fella.
Yeah, I see him. Yeah. No, he's a cutie still.
He's a cutie.
He's less chubby in the watercolor than in real life.
Yeah, slimmed in. Okay, and then we can pause for the doom and gloom because they have a video with Daniel Craig holding a peeing turtle, if you want to see it.
I would love to see that.
I thought you might. Let me send you the link.
So if you find one of these, you should just like trap it and take some footage of it and then let it go again. Then yes. Kill it.
Or, I don't know, take it to a zoo and, like, try and do some breeding efforts, if you can get more than one.
Yeah.
Take some DNA so you can clone it when in doubt for the future when we're all fucked. Are you watching the Daniel Craig thing?
Yeah. Oh, man, that turtle peed all over him.
so cute.
Thank you for showing me this.
That's okay. All right, now back to the doom and gloom. All right.
Oh, okay.
This is my podcast. I'll control the mood. All right. Okay, so in summary, although this mythical creature was once proven to be real, it may now be faded back into the realm of fantasy once more. Spokesperson from the GWC, those guys who I was just talking about, speculate that most have probably fallen victim to, quote, rampant and indiscriminate snare hunting throughout the Annamites, which is like the mountain range in that area.
Okay.
Barney Long, the director of Species Conservation and Expedition Membership, states, quote, I'd be amazed to find the silverback chevrotain, but that's just the first step. No matter where it's found, it's going to be under severe threat. So its discovery will spur conservation action. We need to identify not just one individual on camera trap, but one or two sites with populations that we can actually protect. So, I don't know how likely that is, guys. It might be fucked.
But they were beautiful while they lasted.
They were so cute while they lasted. That's a gif of it, like, eating.
And hey, we've still got the non-Vietnamese ones, right? All the other mouse deer. So, so what does it really matter, I guess?
Yeah, there we go. I knew you would fall into that trap of, what does it matter? We have 10 other species.
That's
or whatever.
True. But I want the Vietnamese one. Suck it up.
It's an important chink in the chain of ecosystem. Boom, motherfucker.
That's so not a boom.
You tire me, Patrick.
It's the key chink in the chain.
They are scrumptious little fat balls on thin legs. I mean,
it's true, they're nature's little treat.
Yeah, all the tigers and shit love them. Mm. Alright, should we get into our chunky monkey episode?
Oh, it's a monkey episode, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe.
I mean, we'll find out.
Today's cryptid, all right? I am fucking excited. All right. Today's cryptid. Excuse me?
Is it a chunky monkey?
Yes.
Ah, yeah, cool. All right, what is it?
Don't interrupt me again. This is my big reveal. This is my moment. Today's cryptid is the Murfreesboro mud monster.
Right.
You know? You know that fella?
Yeah. Of course. Where's Murfreesboro?
It's in America.
It's in America. All right.
It's in Illinois.
Ooh. Illinois. Okay.
And this is special because this is our first Bigfoot variant.
Wow. We're touching the giant maelstrom of crazy that is Bigfoot.
I wasn't sure where you're going with that. We're touching Bigfoot. We're touching him real good. This is a big touch as well. We're like, I'm hitting it hard.
Is this like
first time?
Is this the particularly insane strain of the Bigfoot conspiracy world?
No.
Are these like demon Bigfoots or like hovering Bigfoots or mind control Bigfoots?
No.
Okay, cool. No.
These are just your average chunky monkey.
Okay.
So what is it? This is a large bipedal humanoid primate. This specific fella is around 7 foot tall, around 400 pounds, which I looked up is 181 kilograms. So around that.
Very
for
nice.
Those people who use kilograms, like us.
Yeah. Metric.
It has large feet. Surprise. And this fella has shaggy white fur.
Ooh. So that's what makes him different. Okay, cool.
He's a special. And he stank. He's stanky boy. He stinks foul smell.
They all stank, right? That's their thing.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. There's caveats. Not all of them stink, and not all of them stink all the time. We'll have to go into it in a different episode. This is not the time for it. So its face is somewhat human-like, somewhat chimp-like. It has small ears that are human-like. It has a flat nose, large canines, and a slightly cone head.
Okay.
Shape.
180 kilos is about the same as, like, the mountain from Game of Thrones. He's about... He's in that region. And he's about 7 foot tall as well.
In real life?
Yeah, in real life.
Holy shit.
So that's how chunky a monkey we're talking. He is 6 foot ten. Well, coming up to 6 foot ten. Yeah.
Wow. He is literally the human equivalent of the Murphy Burrows mud monster.
Yeah, he's fucking huge, right? He's gigantic. Okay. Yeah. He's one of the strongest men in the world. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a lot of shirtless photos of him on there. I'm conflicted.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
I'm conflicted with how I feel. I think he would be double my size.
I'm attracted, but also repelled.
Attracted and scared. All right, anyway. So imagine him, but hairy and white fur.
Okay, cool.
Okay. And more of a cone head. Okay, slightly differences. Anyway, so the fur thins on his face extremities.
Okay.
Basically. So it's not just like all fur. You can see his face.
Okay.
And he is just one, I believe. He's just the one. Okay. One unique character. And he is amazing.
Wait, there's not a population. It's just one thing.
This particular one is one. I'm just, because, okay, actually, I should clarify this. This is a good idea. This is a good time to clarify. So Bigfoot is such a big beast, right? Just, I mean, the beast is big. I mean, like, the fucking... Don't you hold your head. The concept of Bigfoot is such a large topic that no one episode... It deserves so many episodes. No one episode can cover everything. It's such an intricate thing. I pendulum from it exists, it doesn't exist, it does exist, it doesn't exist. I lose my mind sometimes.
Okay.
As of late, for FYI, I have been in the it exists camp pretty steadily.
Okay, cool. I'm glad.
But to walk Patty through it, there's no way you can just like baptism by fire someone about Bigfoot. You can't be like, it exists, here is 25 years of knowledge on Bigfoot in what, an hour. So we're going to break it into small little chunks, Bigfoot, basically.
Oh no, we're going to have like a Bigfoot month. I'm not ready for that.
Not month. I'm just going to sprinkle it in when you're not ready.
Okay, cool. That's how I would prefer my Bigfoot.
this is the first sprinkle. I'm going to get you there in little bite-sized chunks, basically. This is the first bite-sized chunk.
Yeah, it's like when you find a caper in your meal. You're like, oh, caper, yuck. But I understand why it needs to be in here for the flavor of the overall dish.
Yeah, it's like a cardamom pod.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you so much for being here, but when you bite into it, you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. Oh,
God, really? Yeah, okay.
And then you put more in later. And then you anyway, I love cardamom. I don't know what I'm saying. I love Bigfoot, don't like cardamom pods. I fucked it. Anyway, shut up. What am I saying? Anyway, so that's what we're doing. We're going to pick, and when I say we, I mean me. I'm going to pick.
Okay, but this sounds like a particularly crazy and unilluminating strain of the Bigfoot world. Because this is people, they're saying there's just one creature on its own. It's not a population. No. Didn't come
no,
from.
No. No, you've misunderstood. So in order to convince. Oh, I don't want to say convinced, because I don't want
to... When you said this is just one, did you just mean this is just like one small bit of the larger world of Bigfoot, or did you mean people think there's only one of these animals?
The first bit. The first one.
Okay, cool. All right, so, that makes sense.
In order to cover the entire subject of Bigfoot, I'm not going to just like tell you everything that ever happened.
Yeah, no. We'll I get what you're saying.
So this is one instance, one time period, one creature... That
we are just scratching the surface.
We are fucking
of an ocean of Bigfoot.
Slightly. All right. Exactly. So
understood.
It is so that is, I hope everyone understands that this is like one, because this is a wormhole. There is lots of variations. People think there's variations of Bigfoot, like there's skunk ape or whatever, there's compared to Sasquatch or what have you. This is just, I'm gonna go into different variations and look at each of them individually.
Okay.
So we can, at some point in the distant future, make a general opinion.
That seems like a good way to do it. That's very methodical. All right.
Thank you. So, yes, as I was saying, I was making a dick joke before we got all locked up in
serious
admin.
Inquiry. All right. Go, make your dick joke.
Basically, he is a male, and everyone knows he's a male. And here is a picture of him. Here is a picture of an artist rendition.
Wait, what do you mean he's a male? It's a population, right?
This specific creature is white, so we know it's a, it's one, right? Because, I mean,
what?
To kind
of... this is what I was asking earlier. Is it, is there supposed to be just one of these creatures in number? Or are there supposed to be multiple? Like, is it just one albino Bigfoot?
I've got you. Murfreesboro Mud Monster is one. Bigfoot, many. But Murfreesboro Mud Monster is a Bigfoot. He's just an albino Bigfoot. But we know he's just the one because he's different. Okay. It's like if one was wearing a hat permanently.
Yeah, yeah,
we'd know it's the same fucking hat
wearing
one.
Okay.
Look at the picture.
That's a cool drawing. But he doesn't... I thought... Oh, you were going to say we... Well, where's the dick? There's no dick joke here. Drawing
this
doesn't
artist, dick. Yeah. I mean, this artist has left the dick out.
But imagine a huge one, right?
But just... See how his legs are spread?
Yeah,
that's
got to be for some reason. Yeah.
There's a lot of negative white space there. I mean, okay, let's go into it. So folklore. I'm not going to really go into folklore for this because I feel like we should just dedicate a whole episode to folklore on Sasquatch because it's like massive, right? So as a very baseline like sentence... First Nations people of America and Canada have knowledge of Sasquatch around the lands for thousands of years, and they typically, obviously, like they had their own cultures and languages and areas of population, kind of like, you know, how Aboriginal Australians had their own populations and languages around Australia before settlers came.
Mm-hmm.
You look confused. Why are you confused?
No, I'm just wondering what the source for this information is. When people are like, oh, First Nation peoples have talked about this forever, like...
First Nation peoples is a source.
Okay.
They have said, this is a name of what we call this thing.
Okay, cool.
So, basically, a name for this animal has developed independently around America and Canada.
Okay.
So, for example, now, I really want to do this justice, but I can't speak any language except for Aussie, so I'll try. But there's the Bakus, which is the Tsimshian Indian Bigfoot. There's the Box, which is the Bellacoola Bigfoot. There's the Bush Indians, which is the Alaskan Athabascan Bigfoot. Anyway, I could go on. Hairy Man, Loffa.
I could go on, but I would rather not.
But... we'll save that for a whole folklore Bigfoot episode later. But basically, skip, right? Because this is a big episode.
Yeah, okay, cool.
In fact, I should probably mention we're going to make this into two parts. I forgot to mention that. This is part one.
30 minutes in.
Part two.
Well, you can put it in the title, then people will know.
People will know. I'm not going to do all the work for you people. All right, anyway. So let's dive right into the sightings. So I'm focusing on just the one Bigfoot, and it's going to be a specific time span in a specific area, and that is Murfreesboro, when it was besieged by the horrors of the Mud Monster.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
25th of July... fucked it. 25th of June, 1973.
73? Recent.
The 70s. The swinging... Yeah. 70s.
The swinging 70s, a time where cameras existed.
Correct. Oh, okay. It's midnight. It's summer. It's hot. And it's about to get hotter. Young couple, Randy Needham, who is feeling randy and in need of dat ham. And... Judy Johnson, who was looking for a different kind of Johnson.
Why was Ralph Needham looking for ham?
Randy Needham.
Randy. Why was Randy looking for ham?
I don't know. I thought that might have been some sort of tenuous sex joke. Need of that ham?
Cause...
that meat? That flesh?
Yeah, but that's the man thing. Is he... are they confused? Are they looking for different things here? And it's an unfortunate situation. No, please carry. I'm sorry.
It's fine. No, it's fine. This is not perfect. I'm not perfect, as some might think. So they're in Randy's car, right?
Okay.
And they're feeling Randy. Okay. They are parked at the foot of 23rd Street in Riverside Park on the southwest edge of Murfreesboro. This is right next to the Big Muddy River.
Okay.
Now, this is extra illicit because Dear Judy Johnson was actually Mrs. Judy Johnson.
Oh, wow. This is such like a horror film setup.
I know. Scandalous. To add to this, Judy's father had forbid her from ever seeing Randy.
Oh.
I know.
But you can't keep Randy away. His hands are everywhere. All right.
Handsy Randy. Oh, nearly worked. Okay. A third layer of controversy was sparked between the two of them, with Nandy being... Nandy? With Randy being a younger man at 19 and Ooh. Judy being the older woman at 28, which is not that much older, but it's a decade.
Wow.
So this is why they were holed up in a dark park after hours in a car.
Man.
Holding right. hands or something. Okay.
This is a lot of detail. Did Randy or Judy or whatever give this detail freely to people?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, they must have seen something important to be willing to spill the beans.
Yeah, right. They're risk it for the biscuit. Okay, I'm going to pause for a second, and I'm going to show you a shot of the Big Muddy River. So the Big Muddy River is called the Big Muddy River. And to give you an idea...
I've got it up on Google Maps.
I'm going to give you this is an idea of what the area looks like, to give you sort of a moody feel, theme, feel it out.
Oh, yeah, it's big and muddy. Got it.
Yeah. I've got some Google Maps reviews. I clearly did way too much research for this episode. I'll read them out.
Its name says it all.
3 stars. It's big. It's muddy. It's a river.
Great place for assistance living.
I do good fishing here. 5 stars. 1 star. Too big and too muddy. 1 star. Yeah, I don't know. I love that Justin Bieber says, great place for full stop assistance living. What the fuck are you talking about, Biebs? Anyway, great stuff.
Great and Justin research. Bieber has left 134 reviews in this area, it looks like.
Oh my god, yes. Local guide. All right. Okay, so they're at the Big Muddy River. And they're about to see something crazy come pouring out of that big muddy river.
Mud?
I'm being dirty. All right, fine.
All right.
I'll move on. So they were smooching or something, and then the radio was on, and they were basically chatting about what they wanted to do, whether they wanted to head off or whether they wanted to maybe stay around.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly they heard a large screechy sound, which... was from something different, something powerful, and from something close by. Randy explained it. It sounded like, quote, an eagle shrieking into a microphone.
Okay.
Mm. They immediately switched the radio off and scanned the area. Another scream directed their attention to one specific area where they noticed the shrubbery was vigorously waving. Randy flicked on his headlights instinctively, and there he spotted it, a huge figure in a walking towards the car and an open window at that, and was coming more and more into view in the headlights. They described it as a 7 foot tall, covered in light colored hair, and was clearly clotted with crusty mud in its fur.
Hang on. If it's covered in mud, how would they know the fur's white?
I mean, some of it, probably chest down is clotted.
Okay.
Like, if you went wading through a muddy river, your torso up would be fine.
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah, sure.
It was walking upright and was heading straight for them.
Okay.
Not only could they see the beast, but they were suddenly hit with a foul stench that made them want to gag. They freaked out and stepped on the gas, heading the hell out of there.
All right.
As they drove away...
Wait, did they have to drive towards it to get away from it?
No.
Because it was coming at them from front on?
It was coming front on, but I think they were parked nose in to a car park, and it was coming out of the woods.
Ah, okay.
So right. They probably reversed out and, got the fuck
out of it. Yeah, okay, cool.
As they drove away in stunned silence, they knew that what they had to do, even if it meant the end of their relationship. What they did next was go straight to the Murfreesboro Police Department. Deputy Sheriff, I think his name is Ronald Scott, took their statement and they filled in something called a, quote, unknown creature report.
Is this real?
Yes.
How do you know this is real? Have you seen the original documents?
Yes.
Yes? Can you show me the original documents?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, I can. Not yet, though. You have to hear me talk for a little bit more.
Seems like a weird document for a police station to just have lying around, the the cryptid form.
Well, don't forget, this is the 70s, so it's basically like a fill-in-the-blanks doc, and they've got, like, sighting, and it's, like, unknown creature sighting, so.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
It's, like, literally typewriter era, so.
Okay.
So, Scott, the deputy sheriff, said he believed that they were honest because the reason for them coming was, like, so great that they had to admit that they were having an affair to come and talk to them. He noted that they were very, very scared, basically.
Okay. All right.
So, like I said, I've got this amazing report in my hot little hand.
Oh, nice. Let's have a look.
Oh, fuck, I'm so excited! Okay, not only did I find the official police report, but I found a 67-page document that holds all official investigations, reports, sighting, and news articles about the creature from this time.
Why is there more than just the one? Oh, there's more sightings you're going to tell me about, and they're all in here?
This means I have Randy's entire information, and he is a verified person that was... This was an actual reported event in time. So, you know, when we'd have sightings and we're like, Greg saw a pool of blood, and you're like, who's Greg? How are you getting this information? This is like, I know everything about Randy.
Alrighty.
I could tell you his full name, his age, his race.
Oh, this is exciting. This is like the first time we've got real hard evidence.
I know. I can tell you his address. So, shall I send you the fucking report?
Please send me the fucking report. This is all public already, right?
It is public.
Okay.
I only did mild hacking. No, I'm kidding. So, I mean, it's detailed, and I've pulled out the best bits, and I'm going to read them to you. So don't, like, bother reading through it all.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see it's a if you can't see it at home, basically it's a physical scanned in typewritten up report. There's coffee stains on it. It's very 70s. Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty logiskies.
So here's the juicy bits, and yes, I read every fucking inch of this shit. I read every centimeter of it. Oh my god. Okay. Quote. The creature continued screaming, changing tones and proceeding towards the car. A Judy Johnson was also inside the car, stating that she heard the screaming but was unable to see the creature due to the darkness.
Oh.
So the woman didn't see it properly. The man saw it.
Okay.
She heard it screaming, according to this. So that's probably legit. Well,
were they both, like, looking in the same direction? Was she sucking him off or something? Like, what's... Why didn't they both see it?
I think, so what side is the car, what side is the driver on in America? It's on the left?
But maybe it was on the driver's side.
Yeah. Said it was coming towards his open window, so maybe the guy was in the way.
Yeah.
Quote, complainant, actually, I don't know how to say that word. What's it, complainant?
Complainant.
Complainant. Complainant, and who is Randy, and Johnson also stated that no human would be able to scream or make a noise as loud as what they heard.
Okay.
So the police department go into immediate action and dispatch a team into the scene that night. Police officer James Nash, who is like a cool guy, he turns up a lot, so... Jamesy boy.
James Nash is the protagonist of this story.
Jimmy Nash.
Cool dude, James Nash. Jimmy Nash.
Yeah.
All right.
So he was placed out there as soon as possible, and he found distinct footprints that were caked in mud. The report states, quote, officers located impressions in the mud approximately 3 to 4 inches deep, approximately 10 to 12 inches long, and approximately 3 inches wide. It is unknown what made these impressions.
3 inches. Well, that's pretty wide. Okay, yeah.
Big footprints.
Okay.
The report then goes on to explain the arrival officers spotlighted the area, entire area. At 2 a.m., so this sighting happened just before midnight, I think. So now it's 2 a.m. At 2 a.m., Officer Nash and Merrill Lindsay, who's a new officer, as well as Deputy Scott, who we mentioned before, and the complainant returned to the area with boots to inspect it further.
Okay.
Randy walked them up to where it happened and, quote, officers discovered prints in the mud that were described as above, except that were deeper in the mud and not as long as the others appeared. They found the prints from before, and then they found more prints.
That were of a different size.
Slightly shorter, by the sounds of it.
Okay.
Possibly, like, drag marks? I mean, it's in mud, so I think it's, like, slip marks and stuff is possibly a thing. You know, okay. When you slip a bit on mud.
Yeah.
Officer Lindsay left the area. This is still all just, like, straight from the fucking report. Officer Lindsay left the area to obtain a camera to photograph the prints. The prints in the muds were very erratic in that no two were the same distance apart. And some were 5 to 6 feet apart. Also, prints were found very close together.
Huh.
But wait, it gets better. So the report continues, quote, while Officer Lindsay was away from the area, Officer Nash and Scott, the deputy fucking sheriff, said, and the complainant, Randy, followed the prints in the mud towards the river. While the officer and complainant were bent over some tracks inspecting them, a loud shrill scream came from the wooded area to the southeast near the river and seemed approximately 100 yards away. Needham immediately stated that that was the creature. Officers and Needham retreated out of the wooded area back to the squad car and advised Officer Lindsay of what occurred and requested Sergeant Tincher to come to the scene and photograph the tracks. So that is lifted straight from the report that they heard like a shrill scream.
All right.
Officer Nash later admitted that he was so startled by the incident that he actually dropped his revolver during the hasty retreat and didn't really tell anyone. He only admitted that years later. He also added that he initially thought the report from the couple must have been make-believe until he saw how rattled they were and saw the scene for himself. In regards to the cry he heard, he describes it as, quote, the most incredible shriek I've ever heard. It was in those bushes. It was no bobcat or screech owl. We hightailed it out of there. So, they photographed the prints, and I admit badly, it's the 70s, and everyone left the scene. Former patrolman, now retired, Murphy Borough's police chief, Ronald Manwaring, who is also another protagonist, our leading man, he remembers this couple. He's the now retired police chief, Ronald Manwaring.
Okay, what was he at the time?
I think he was just an officer at the time, but he kept turning up.
Made it big. All right.
Made it big. This is his big break.
Yeah.
So he remembers this couple and this incident quite well, stating there was no advantage for them coming up and reporting this. He believes that there is no doubt. And he believes that there was no doubt that they were plagued by a public humiliation as an aftermath because of their illicit affair, because of the, you know,
right.
All that shit.
Okay.
So here are the two photos Rafsay took. Now, don't get your hopes up too much. They're not fantastic. First of all, the camera is obviously shit. Second of all, there is nothing for scale. Like, I have no clue what I'm looking at.
Okay, yeah.
They look very thin and not measuring up to the dimensions that were read off in the report.
Previously. Yeah, that's not a footprint, is it?
No.
That's like a groove in the mud.
I mean, possibly the guy with the camera just didn't know what to photograph and just photographed something else.
That's really, like, that's not... A foot didn't make that.
Yeah, because they...
Unless someone was walking with, like, ice skates or rollerblades on.
Because they measured it, right? They had measurements of the footprint.
This doesn't seem to match the measurements, though. What were the measurements? They were 3 inches wide. How many inches long?
So the depth of the print was 3 to 4 inches.
Yeah.
It was approximately 10 to 12 inches long. And 3 inches wide.
Okay, so that's four times as long as it is wide. I have no way of measuring this. Hang on. I guess that's sort of similar to what's here, but it doesn't look like Like, that's not a foot didn't make that. Yeah. Maybe it's a small foot that really slid around, but I don't know. They look like ice skate tracks or something.
Mm. Maybe the guy just photographed the wrong fucking thing.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Seriously. Okay, but...
70s.
This is all... Because that's crucial, right? Otherwise, it's just they heard a weird noise, and they saw... I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Like, what if it was just a creepy, huge homeless guy, for example? No, but then there'd be tracks. I don't know what to make of it. It's very confusing.
Mm. Well, there were lots of tracks. These are just the ones they photographed for whatever reason.
Yeah, okay.
I really don't know enough about this era. I mean, maybe photography was, like, uber expensive, and they were like, just photograph two of them. And this guy chose those two. Because I don't know enough about that era and photographs.
No, I mean, they're okay photographs, aren't they?
No, I just mean cost-wise.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was really expensive.
Maybe. And that's why they didn't take more, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they were scared. I don't know. Anyway, okay, this is a very interesting story, though.
Hmm. Okay, cool. So, I'm not finished. So, from my digging, I have found some audio evidence of this creature. The recording indicates that this was taken on an analog recorder from the date of the 26th of June. So this all happened on the night, like 12 a.m. of 25th, and then like 2 a.m. is the 26th. So from that same night.
Okay, yeah.
From what I can gather, it may have been like the police officers who recorded this, or it may be totally unrelated and someone else recorded this in a different area.
Okay.
So I'm gonna send it to you and see what you think. I have my very strong opinions on it, okay. But I'm gonna see what you think first. Have a listen to this. Make sure your volume is not up too high, I suppose, as well.
Okay. So this is a recording that was in the police records.
No, this is separate. So this is just on YouTube.
Oh.
This is why I have strong feelings.
Okay. So what's the provenance of this? It was on YouTube. But you said it was timestamped from 2 a.m. that evening.
It was not time. No, not from 2 a.m. It's just on the 26th. So if you open it, it's a YouTube clip. It just says this is taken from an analog. It's like, this is the only audio evidence from this time. It was taken on the 26th of June.
Oh, okay. But we don't know if that's true or not. That's just what it says.
We don't know if that's true. We don't know where it was recorded, when it was recorded.
All right. Let's have a listen. Mm-hmm. What's that sound in the background? Can you hear that sound in the background? Like a train or like a factory or something? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds kind of creepy. It sounds like a monster. From what I can hear, it sounds like there's a train in the background or something. Hmm. Some sort of machine or something, which is odd. I don't know. I don't think very much of it. What do you think?
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really noticed that in the background. You're right. But it might be the recording equipment, because it's such an old, like, style of recording equipment from the 70s that it might be like, clunk, 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 clunk. Like, that just might be its internal mechanisms.
Maybe.
Like, for example, when I charge what I'm recording you on, I have to charge it, and record, it goes whoom, 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 whoom. It's like the thing, it's like the power running through it. Okay, so my thoughts. I don't think we can totally add this into the mix too seriously, because it's just not up to the same caliber as everything else, in my opinion. Literally everything I'm presenting to you has such intense source material. It's so credible. Like, there's real people. It's like legit channels of it coming through. Whereas this is just like, I mean, I looked into the guy who posted it, and he just does like aliens and stuff. So
yeah.
It seems so unlikely that his little channel found this amazing fucking evidence compared to him just making it up for laughs.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's so silent in the background. You would expect, like, bugs, birds, fucking, like, dogs barking, wind blowing. It's outside. So, I'm not so hot on it. But I thought I should include it.
Yeah, I'm also... yeah, no, fair. I agree with you entirely in your assessment.
Fantastic. So I think we're going to take a break here now. That's going to be the end of episode.
All right.
This is going to be end of part one is what I mean. It's going to be end now. So tune us... tune in next week. Join us next week for part two, where we're going to more sightings, more evidence that's gonna make Patty believe in Bigfoot.
That's what's gonna happen.
I can feel it in my bones. So we're on social media. If you want to say hi, just search Cryptid Addicted. We also have launched our Patreon. It's a really great way to support the channel, send some love.
Just amazing, yeah.
And you can have a look at our different tiers at patreon.com/cryptidaddicted. Thanks to all those guys who are buying merch as well. Apparently you guys like the notebooks and some of the t-shirts. That's really cool. I've got one myself. I should probably take a photo in it. It's really nice cotton, really cool design, obviously. And yeah. Okay, well,
nice.
I think that's it for now. We'll do a swift exit, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye!